work.
Issa, holla at me.
Make him stop.
I wasn't sure that she should tweet that the president was a white supremacist.
On today's episode of Corporate Homie.
Closed doors.
It's basically the pimp game from college. What team are you on?
Be a good follower so you'll be ready to lead.
Hey, homies.
What up, homies?
Welcome back to the Corporate Homie Podcast. Woo, woo.
Welcome back. That's my, welcome back, Kata.
Welcome back. Yes, very much welcome back, Kata. And the millennial homies have no idea.
No idea what that is.
It was a
great... I love that show.
Side note. The 70s and 80s had TV shows with the best theme songs. Shout out to Bobby White, Family Ties. Sha-la-la-la.
How did you get to Family Ties?
I'm off task.
Okay. We're talking about Okay. Today we are talking about closed doors. Closed doors at work and sort of wanting to rush into a new season at work.
So... I don't think this could be a better topic because I know a lot of the homies watch Insecure. And so if you are not caught up on Insecure, stop listening right now.
Spoiler alert.
Right. Come back after you get caught up on season two.
What are you
Insecure.
About to talk about with Insecure? Okay.
When Molly's like, what? He makes more money than me? I'm going to go in and ask for more money. And they say, okay, we think you are amazing. And they give her what? An amazing certificate.
They
said, we're going to put your name on the website. Womp, womp.
And so this happens to homies all the time, and we hear from homies, and we actually this topic came directly from the homies where you're at work. We've gotten this in a number of iterations where a homie is feeling like, I'm at work, I'm grinding it out, I'm doing the doggone thing, I'm ready to be promoted. I go and talk to my boss, and their boss basically says, no, not yet.
But let's be clear, unless they actually think that you are terrible and they want you to leave, you're never going to get that. What you're always going to get is it's basically the pimp game from college. We're working toward a relationship.
Right. It's not, girl, I really like you.
We trying to build something.
We could be somebody if we just let it be organic.
Organic. Let it move organically. And that's what they do in corporate America. They're like, look, I want to take you out to breakfast because I'm the regional president. And I just want to let you know, Marcus, we think highly of you. Now, we're going to give this market president job over here to Andrew. But trust, you're on our radar.
Right, my tips are going to focus on if it's actually accurate and you're actually not ready, because I think that everyone tells themselves that they're Molly and that they are ready and they're just getting played. But sometimes
you're just not ready.
You're just not ready. And especially in this day and age, we all have a tendency now, because everything is such a popcorn generation, that we believe that I should be elevated, right? You know, I should be something. The Lord has something greater for me now. I just need a name and
greater
a claim.
In him. greater in me.
Right. And so we just have this idea. I just got to name it and claim it. And so we're like, look, I've come to work every day on time for 6 months. I'm ready to be promoted.
I should be the president.
Right. I ran the United Way campaign. I'm ready to be promoted. I mean, we're just always ready to be promoted. And sometimes you're not ready to be promoted. You need to learn to do this job and do this job well before it's time to move on to the next phase. And so we want to give some tips about what to do when you've been given that message and how to get through that season without being sort of sourpuss and having a bad attitude.
So let's get into it. What you got?
Okay, so I found And actually, mom used to say this all the time, right? She would say, you have to be a friend to have a friend. And she'd say, you know, before you can lead somebody, you need to learn how to follow. You need to know how to follow somebody. And I have seen that happen at my own job. You know, when I first started practicing, you were not allowed to give, you know, paralegals tasks unless you knew how to do the task yourself. And I think that that is really important of learning to be a good follower. And so to me, before you talk about getting promoted, we should talk about some characteristics of a good follower.
Right, which eventually will lead into promotion. So,
right. So I found this list by Michael Hyatt where he suggests that great leaders are great followers. And the first thing he says is that that there are five characteristics of them. And the first thing he says is they are clear. They understand their role. You can't be a good follower unless you have clearly identified the leader. While you may be the leader in your own realm, everyone has a boss, including you. And great followers not only accept that fact, they embrace it.
You know, we use a lot of sports analogies, and you see this a lot in sports, right? You'll see a team that's done really well. I'm always using a lot of basketball analogies since I played college ball. But you'll see a team do well, and they'll get deep into the tournament. And then the kid that's been their leading scorer the whole tournament, next thing you know, some other, like, the guy that's been the fourth leading scorer on the team will go off for 35 points, and they lose. And the reason why they lose is because they got the wrong leader. The roles are all reversed. It's not clear. They're not running the game plan. So I think the second tip that we got from the Michael Hyatt list is you've got to be obedient. And while obedience is not a politically correct concept, it's essential for organizational effectiveness. So basically, nobody should be able to give orders who can't obey orders. And this is something that we learned early on because our father was in the military. And so you didn't get to be in charge of the house when somebody was gone until you could learn to take our parents' orders without backtalk, when you could learn how to execute on locking the doors and doing, you know, whatever it may be.
And doing your chores and knowing
so
how
you
to,
don't just get to right. be like, okay, I'm 10. I'm in charge. I haven't been doing anything. Same thing at work.
And you know, it's funny. I just saw that on an Undercover Boss episode. The president of the company, you know, an Undercover Boss comes in and he's undercover, and he saw some manager and he was like, this guy doesn't even know the own protocol himself. He's, you know, he's too drunk with power, right? He doesn't know how to be obedient and follow the protocol. He just wants somebody else to do it. So I think, yeah, that's definitely true. So the third point of great leaders is that they are servants. You know, you hear this term servant leadership. Right? This is crucial. Great followers are observant. They notice what needs to be done and they just actually do it.
They roll up their sleeves. These are the roll up your sleeves leaders, right?
Joyfully, without grumbling and complaining. So they're the people that run the copies and take out the trash and go
answer
get the coffee
phone,
and set
help
up
put the present yes. help find the presentations. They're not like, that's not my job, that's Jane's job.
That's
I'm
not
in
my
charge.
Job. That's right.
You in charge of us not winning any business. That's what you in charge of.
Right, because the leader is like, get the stapler.
And in my Kendrick Lamar voice, you've got to be humble. Why?
Be humble. Be humble.
Got to be humble. Great followers do not make, I mean, great leaders do not make everything about them. They shine their light on the task, and therefore everything else gets magnified. And I think a lot of people forget this. If you're so busy trying to get your own shine, then you're not focused on what it is we're trying to accomplish, and no one's going to follow you with what you're doing. You're certainly not ready for leadership.
Right, and that's sometimes why people aren't ready to be promoted, because they're so busy trying to look like they're ready to be promoted. And so you're not ready to be promoted because everybody's like, you are completely self-serving. And so until you learn for it, like Bemetra said, for it to be about the team, no one thinks you're ready to move to the next level, because the person who's ready for the next level is actually thinking about the greater good. The last point is that they're loyal. And this is a really difficult task in this day and age, you know, because, you know, people want to disagree about that and what it means, but in the long term, you have an organization, they want to see you be wearing the jersey for that organization. Today, you play on team
gym
organization.
Right.
Right. Team organization and team gym. And Jim is your boss. And so being out at the coffee bar talking cash money stuff about Jim is not
cool. I remember a few years ago, I was working in a region and we were struggling something awful. So much so that they had us do a workshop about teamwork. And the first question they asked everybody in the room to write down on a piece of paper, what team are you on? And people were like, I'm on the DeKalb team. I'm on the Decatur team. I'm on the Forsyth County team. These are all different counties in the Atlanta metro area. And then other people were like, I'm on, the North Atlanta region team. And then the gentleman who was facilitating the workshop was like, you're all confused. We're on Team BB&T. We're trying to beat...
Right, the organization.
And that's when you realize like why it was so dysfunctional. Because if I think I'm on my local county team and somebody else thinks they're on the region team...
I can't win.
And we're actually trying to beat Wells Fargo at the time. And we're trying to beat Fifth Third. It's difficult to do that because we're not even in agreement as to what team we're on.
Yeah, right. And then I would say, too, the next thing is patience, which is the thing that really keeps people from being, you know, successful. And is sometimes it's why they get very frustrated when they go to talk to their boss about being promoted. But if you really look, I'll use two analogies for this. If you look at the stock market, what makes the most money is patient
Always.
Capital. People who put their money in the market and don't worry about it and let it do
and
its
just wait
thing.
Like and 3 to 5, sometimes 7 years, not every six right. months, every 3 days, checking to see what it's doing.
Right. People who leave their money in the market make the most money. And same thing with sports. When you look at the most successful NFL franchises and NBA franchises, they have consistent leadership at the top. Longevity. The people who are always changing coaches, always changing.
I hope you're
owners.
Listening, Texas Longhorn football.
Right. They don't win championships because, you know, sometimes there's steps forwards and steps back. That's why they call it the cha-cha-cha, right? But in the long term, you get a groove and you'll win some championships. But you don't win championships changing coaches every couple of years. It doesn't happen.
The other thing that I would add to that is you also want to make an argument based on merit, okay? Not tenure, merit. And so it is important for you to lay out the quantitative argument, the empirical evidence, the data as to why you deserve XYZ promotion. And I can't tell you as a leader, as a manager, I mean, people have come in my office and said, well, so-and-so makes this money. And I mean, that's basically what Molly did. She was about what somebody else made instead of coming in. I mean, you know what I mean? And I'm not picking on her on a show, but you got to make the argument for you because as my mom used to say when we were growing up, I don't care if Tina's mama lets her go to the party. I'm not Tina's mama. I'm your
mama,
mother.
Right.
So why should you get to go to the party? Why does Dimitri get to go to the party? Why does Dimitri? And the same thing is true at work.
Yeah, and you know, we talked about that a little bit when we were talking about asking for a promotion in episode 30, right? Like you got to keep the conversation about you. And I do love, like you said, empirical data. You got to put, you know, dope on the table, points on the board before you worry about getting promoted just because, you know, or moving into, you know, the next thing. And so, you know, we know that closed doors are difficult. So we did the episode about, you know, asking for a promotion. So we wanted to make sure we got a lot of feedback about, okay, well, what happens after you ask for the promotion and the answer is no, and the door is closed. And so how do you sort of move through that season? So we wanted to come back after episode 30 and sort of address some of those. We touched on that a little bit, but we wanted to come back and sort of flesh some of those things out and talk about, you know, how to be a good follower so you'll be ready to
right.
lead.
For those new homies who are listening, Dimitri referenced episode 30. Go back and listen to episode 30. Even for us, you know, you might be good to go back and do a refresher to put the two together when you get the whole not yet deal. As always, we really, truly appreciate you listening. Thank you so much. Please keep your questions and comments coming. You can always, if you have any show topics or you want to talk about having Demetria and I come out and speak at your organization, feel free to reach out to us. Questions at corporatehomie.com or info@corporatehomie.com.
And of course, you can find us across all social media platforms at Corporate Homie. And thanks for listening. And until next time,
hustle hard, homies.
All of you, get you a twin. Get you another homie.